Hello and welcome. I'm Matthew from Rosie & Rosie, investment property specialists, helping you invest in property with confidence. Join us as we interview local experts from within the real estate industry and share with you the insights and practical tips to give you the edge when it comes to buying, selling or renting an investment property. Today, we're joined by award-winning real estate agent Joe Marriott from Toop & Toop. Welcome, Joe, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joe, today I wanted to talk to you about buying a property via private treaty. Joe, a lot of people I speak to have been thinking about investing in property for years. Countless hours are spent reading Saturday's Advertiser and scrolling through realestate.com, occasionally attending an open inspection, only to lowball the agent and wonder why their offer gets rejected. It's frustrating and it's time-consuming. Tell us, Joe, why do you think this happens and what's a better approach to making a strong offer?
Yeah, so with private treaty, and obviously it depends on the area that you're in, but with private treaty, you're basically putting forward your best foot and you're putting it forward to the agent in a paper form. So whether it's a letter of offer or whether it's a contract, I don't believe that putting a lowball offer on a property really works that often unless that property's been on the market for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. If it's been on the market for a long period of time, usually it means that either it's probably priced too high or there's probably something wrong with it. So usually, if I was an investor, I look at, you know, what's been on the market for the past couple of weeks. And if it does match what you're looking for in terms of investing, you need to put an offer forward. Lowballing doesn't work because that's when there's so much competition. The agent generally looks at it and goes, all right, well, I've had 20 people through the open. I've got three or four offers and I've got this one offer that's, you know, $30,000 less than even what I'm asking. You know, are they going to accept it? No. It's just not going to happen, especially in a buoyant market. In a market where there's a lot of competition, there's more buyers than there are sellers, those lowball offers don't really work. So my suggestion is, you know, it's fine to pay what it's worth. If you ever talk to a buyer's agent, they'll rarely ever lowball offer. Mm-hmm. They'll always pay what it's worth. Sometimes they'll pay more than what it's worth because they've done their due diligence. They know that, you know, in future years or whatever, there's going to be good capital growth. So it's a good investment now for a later return. So they always say, look, I'm happy to pay market value. Mm-hmm. Happy to pay a little bit of over market value because I know in 10 years time, if it's a 10-year investment, it's going to be worth a lot more money. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It's better to be in the market now and pay at market value than not be in the market and just always out there, always just throwing out offers. Mm-hmm. So I think a strong offer is always good. And lowballing rarely ever works in this type of market anyway.
So, yeah, sure. Yeah. So how do people know what is market value?
Yeah, look, that is a hard one. Generally, look, we've got way more resources than we did 20 years ago. It used to be you'd get the advertiser or you get the paper, you'd circle a couple of houses that you wanted to go to, and then you'd drive there and you'd ask the agent, how much did this sell for? They would tell you, and hopefully they'd tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, what you can do is you can go on realestate.com, domain, any of those websites, even you can go to the more professional websites, RP Data and stuff, but there's subscriptions to them. Mm-hmm. And you can actually find out, you know, what's sold in the area as a base point.
Sure.
Obviously, you want to talk to the agent and say, look, you know, I know you're asking for, let's say, $500,000 again, as an example. You know, what else is sold that's comparable? If they're doing their job, they've probably got a pretty good idea of what it is. If it's a unique property, it might be a little bit harder, but generally, you know, they'll be within the mark, and you can usually tell. So, you know, looking on those websites and stuff like that, talking to the agent. If you've got an agent that, you know, you use anyway, or a confidant or someone who can actually do a bit of research on your behalf, I would highly suggest using them as well.
Yep.
I always say I'd rather be someone's agent before they need me. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, ring me up and, you know, what do you think this will go for, Joe? What do you think? And I'll do, you know, 10 minutes of research from my end is probably the equivalent of, you know, someone who doesn't really know what they're doing, 2 hours. So you can save yourself a fair bit of time.
Yeah.
And usually they're pretty happy to help you as well.
So, yeah. And that information then gives you not just an understanding of what the market value is or might be, but also if you are going to go in with a hard offer, you've got the evidence to justify it. So you can go to the agent and say, here's why I'm putting in this offer. Perhaps take that back to your vendor.
Yeah, that's right. And an offer, assuming that the vendor hasn't come out and said we're not accepting offers, which would be crazy in a private treaty. I wouldn't understand why you do that. An offer has to be presented to the vendor. Mm-hmm. So if you said, look, this is a strong offer, I'm giving you 500,000 because the next door neighbor sold for 510 and the guy two doors down sold for 480, but you know his bathroom wasn't as nice as yours, so mm-hmm. I think this is fair. You're almost giving the agent something to talk to their vendors about.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and you get them on site. I have to think that a lot of people are playing the game by the wrong set of rules sometimes. They hold their cards very close to their chest. When what they should be doing is getting the agent on site.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's two offers that are very, very similar, at the end of the day, the vendor might just say, what do you think? And if you've got that agent and he's got confidence in you, or she, mm-hmm. he or she's got yep. confidence in you, they're more likely to lean that way mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, being courteous and professional and all those kinds of things actually helps.
Yep.
And knowing, having that information in your back pocket also helps as well. Get them on your
that's
side.
That's gold. Yep. Excellent. A strong offer doesn't always have to be price. A strong price. What other ways can people make their offer a strong offer?
Yeah, look, I've sold properties for less than the other offer because they've had better conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, a lot of the conditions that we see are subject to finance,
mm-hmm.
Subject to building and pest or building, whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
Subject to sale. Sometimes it's subject to money coming overseas or subject to, you know, probate or, you know, things yep. like that. I always say the less conditions, the better.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you can't do anything about finance clause because you just need a finance clause. The mm-hmm. bank says you need it, otherwise we're not going to give you money.
Yep.
That's cool. No worries. If there's a building inspection clause, for instance, well, under South Australian legislation, you get 2 full days to cool off. So you get cooling off periods.
Yep.
So if you were to have an offer accepted, you'd then you'd sign the contract. The agent would give you what's called the Form 1s. They're legal searches that they're mm-hmm. required to do. You get 2 full business days to review that. So that legislation was put in so that you didn't get buyer you didn't get buyer remorse. Later on and go, oh, what have I done? You know. So you've actually got 2 days to cool off and go, yeah, actually, this is a solid investment. This is something that I want to do. In those 2 days of cooling off periods, I would suggest get your building inspection done there.
Yep. Rather than having it as a condition to the contract.
That's right. Yep. Mm. One condition compared to two mm-hmm. is always more preferable.
Yep.
Yet you're doing the exact same thing, really.
Yep.
So it just means that you're going to have to get the building inspection done within 2 days. But most building inspectors are pretty ad hoc nowadays, and they're used to getting a phone call, you know, Monday morning to do a building inspection Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So, and as agents, we obviously try to accommodate that because we want to keep the deal together.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't want to lose a buyer, especially if it's a good offer. Our job is to sell property, not to accumulate property.
Yeah.
So, so less conditions are better. Subject to sale, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I have to say, look, I've only ever done it once. With subject to sale, and I generally tell my vendors, you know, there's got to be better things out there because you're really now you're in the hands of another buyer mm-hmm. and another buyer.
Yeah.
So another buyer has to come and buy this property in order for this buyer to come and buy your property.
Mm-hmm.
And then what if another buyer has to come there? See, it's mm-hmm. a bit of a chain then. So you're too reliant on other people.
Yep.
So I generally say, you know, subject to sale isn't going to work. Sell first.
Mm-hmm.
If you can sell and you've got your money, you've got your cash in hand, you're a much stronger buyer.
Yeah, excellent. And settlement terms, that can be another way to improve your offer.
Yeah, definitely, yep. I've had buyers say, I'll do whatever the vendor wants, which mm-hmm. is great.
Yep.
Because you don't know, some vendors want 120 days because they want to finish building the house that they're going to.
Sure.
Some want 21 days or 30 days because they want their money quickly.
Mm-hmm.
By putting it out there, you're giving the vendor the opportunity to come to you and you actually find out what they want.
Yep.
You know, sometimes it's hard to find out what they want, but if you say, whatever, I'm happy to do whatever the vendor is happy to do, that is a really good way of meeting halfway almost, mm-hmm. especially if your money's not quite there, but that condition can really get you over the line sometimes.
Mm. So, yeah. Okay. So what can you tell us that a seller or a seller's agent wouldn't really want us to know?
All right. I suppose one of the things that, and it's actually something you can look up quite easily, but how long has it been on the market?
Mm-hmm.
Is always one. That's one of the questions I get all the time. And you know, you'd never lie about that or anything like that because it's common knowledge now.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been on the market 2 days, you don't really have too much negotiation power, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been on the market 2 months, you've got a bit. Mm-hmm. If it's been on the market 2 years, go to town.
Yeah.
You know? it's negotiation central now. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, how long's it been on the market is always something I get asked a lot. Why the vendors are selling? Most agents, you would think, are pretty smart with that. They're not going to disclose anything mm-hmm. that the vendor doesn't want to know. But you know, agents are human. Sometimes they might slip. They might say, "Oh, the bank's taking their house." Okay, so they need to move pretty quickly. Yeah. Then you know, you don't necessarily have to do a huge offer in order to secure it. So,
yeah. And just on that, what are the main reasons people sell their homes?
Divorce, death, and debank mm-hmm. are generally the three ones, the three D's. Yeah. It's usually there's finance problems.
Yep.
Divorce happens a lot, unfortunately. And you know, they need to split their assets, all that kind of stuff. And obviously death, which is, you know, pretty prevalent nowadays. Yeah, mm-hmm. unfortunate. Yeah. But you know, and some people just want to upsize or downsize.
Yeah.
Especially in South Australia, the population's getting a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
We've been pretty spoilt. We've had large blocks of land and all that kind of stuff, but it's hard to maintain as you get older. Yeah. So they want to downsize. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of downsizing happening at the moment. And obviously a new generation, Gen Y and all that, they're starting to accumulate some money and they want to own their own piece of land in Australia. So yeah. They're starting to look to upsize.
Yeah.
So
what can you tell us when you see on realestate.com a listing that's been on there for 6 months?
Yep.
Why do you suppose it's still on there? I mean, if it's in a good area or, you know, perhaps in the outer suburbs, but it's been on there for 6 months, what insight can you give us on that? What can a buyer read into that?
It's always a couple of things. It's usually the three things why a property doesn't sell. They're three P's. So there's more acronyms for you. Position mm-hmm. is one, but you can't really change the position of the home. Presentation is the other, mm-hmm. and price. And at the end of the day, it's usually price.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been on there for 6 months and it's presented well and it's in a nice area, it's price.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so educated now that that they know it's overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of people out there that don't have to move and they're not going to pay $100,000 over what it's worth just because you want it.
Mm.
So you have to meet the market. I always say that when you put it on the market, you have 3 to 4 weeks to sell it. Otherwise, you're probably going to sell it for less than probably what it's worth.
Yep.
Because overpricing is so detrimental to your campaign that you'll end up having a big problem. As a buyer or as an investor, probably pretty good.
Yeah.
It really depends on what that vendor or that person selling, what their motivation is.
Mm.
They could get sick to death of open inspections every week. It's quite hard to keep a house clean and tidy for an open inspection every week. Mm-hmm. You know, get the cats and dogs out and the kids and all that kind of stuff. They may just go, "All right, yep, no worries. That's an offer that's reasonable.
Yep.
I just want to be over and done with."
Yeah.
They're probably sick of their agent too.
Sure. So what does it tell us about the seller's motivation or the position that they're in when they haven't sold for 6 months?
It says that either they're not being educated enough that they're overpriced,
mm-hmm.
And it's not always overpriced, but the majority of the time it is, or that they're not really motivated to sell. Mm. They don't need to sell.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you don't really have too much negotiation.
Mm.
A lot of this job is about negotiation and just trying to find a middle ground that everyone's happy with. Mm. You want your buyer to go, "Okay, that's cool. You know, I like the process, but maybe I paid a little bit too much." Or that's what I want to do as a agent selling. Mm-hmm. And you want your vendor to go, "Okay, that agent really worked for me." But if someone isn't motivated to sell, if they're just thinking, "Yeah, it'd be nice if I got this kind of money," well, they're probably not going to budge.
Mm.
And there's even an example of one, and I won't name it, but he's been on the market for nearly 3 years. Right. Been through about five different agents. I think he's doing it himself now. So,
okay.
Still with no luck. So, and I think he's dropped a significant amount as well.
Right.
But at the end of the day, his house is a brand, and now that brand is been tainted mm-hmm. in the market because Adelaide's a small place. People know, people talk.
Mm. Certainly, when it's been on the market for that long, you tend to wonder what's wrong with it. Why hasn't anyone picked it up yet?
That's right.
Great tips there. Thank you very much. What advice can you give or tips specifically for investors who are buying a private treaty?
Realistically, talk to the agent, get the agent on side, find out what they're thinking. They're a conduit essentially for the vendor. Now they're working on behalf of their vendor, or they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't hurt to ask them, you know, what's it going to take to buy this? If and I use the 500,000 because it's nice, easy numbers.
Yep.
If there's a range of 5 to 550, for instance, and you say to the agent, you know, what's going to buy this? And he comes in and says, "Oh, meet me halfway." You know that 520 is probably a reasonable offer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's worth 550, or you know, or if it's worth a little bit more than 500, you know, and you really want to get it, and it's in a growth suburb, and you know it's going to have some great capital growth, or you know it's going to cover your rent, and you're going to be fine. You know, bite the bullet and do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point stressing over $5,000 or $10,000 if it's a 10-year investment and it's going to be worth $1 million in 10 years.
You're always going to feel like you paid too much.
100%. Yep.
So, yeah, just go that extra bit to get the property if it's a good one, if it stacks up.
Yeah.
Jump in.
I mean, there's whole industries, buyer's agents, whose job it is to buy, but they don't underquote, they don't go low because they know that long-term, it's better to be in the market and doing something than to just holding off like over $5,000 or $10,000. Like, and I know $5,000 or $10,000 is a lot, but when you consider on top of what you could get in capital growth in that year,
8, 9, 10 years time, it's not going to matter.
It's going to be nothing.
Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you again for joining us today, Joe. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. But before you go, tell us, how can people follow you or get in touch with you?
You can go onto the website, toopandtoop.com.au. I've got my own Facebook, Joe Marriott at Toop and Toop. Joe Marriott at Toop and Toop on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Or I've got Instagram, which is Not Your Average Joe.
Fantastic.
One. Yep.
Not Your Average Joe 1.
That's right, 1.
On Instagram.
Someone else took the original, I think. So.
Thanks, Joe. We certainly look forward to having you back again. And thank you for joining us too. We hope you found Joe's industry insights to be useful. If you have any questions for Joe, I'm sure he'd only be too happy to hear from you. Similarly, if you have any questions, queries, or feedback for us, please send them in. Comment below or email hello@rosieandrosie.com.au. We'd love to hear from you too. It's been a pleasure having you with us, but it's time for us to go. Until next time, I'm Matthew from Rosie and Rosie, helping you invest in property with confidence.